I want you to imagine just for a second, billing a client for 3 weeks out incredibly meticulous, soul-crushing graphic design work.
Oh man, the kind of work that just keeps you up till 3 a.m.
Exactly. But now imagine an invisible, totally autonomous employee doing that exact same 3 week workflow. I mean, color grading raw video, scrubbing background noise, formatting a massive ad campaign for like 15 different highway billboards.
Right.
And it does all of that in about 4 seconds.
Which sounds completely made up, I
It
know.
really does sound like a speculative science fiction pitch, but as of today, June 19, 2026, it is literally the new default setting on the creative software you probably have open on your computer right now.
It's honestly a paradigm shift.
Yeah. So today we're looking at this really comprehensive, eye-opening piece from the Tech and Review. It's titled Adobe Agentic AI: The Evolution of Creative Orchestration. And, you know, our mission for this deep dive is to just strip away all the corporate press release fluff.
Because there's always a lot of fluff.
Oh, so much. We want to dissect the actual mechanics of this silent earthquake in the digital creativity space. We're exploring how AI has permanently stopped being just a passive tool and it's transformed into an autonomous digital director, and what this means for you, whether you're a pro or just consuming media.
It's going to affect everyone.
Completely. Okay, let's unpack this, because to really understand the magnitude of this update, I think we first have to look at what AI used to be, like just a few short years ago.
Yeah, back in what, 2023 or 2024, the Tech and Review calls those early iterations of Midjourney or Adobe Firefly passive producers,
Right.
because the human designer still had to be the art director. You type in a text prompt, and the system would spit out a flat, rasterized image. It was cool, but I mean, it was basically a digital Polaroid.
Yeah, digital Polaroid's a great way to put it. Because you get that image, but then you still have to do all the heavy lifting yourself.
Oh yeah, tons of manual work.
You drag it into Photoshop, spend an hour like manually tracing the subject with the pen tool to mask out the background, and then fix the color grading so it didn't look crazy artificially saturated.
And add the typography on top of that.
Exactly. The AI was just a tool sitting on a workbench waiting for you to pick it up. But this new update, the whole core of it, is this concept called agentic AI.
Right. And the big distinction here between a standard generative model and an agent is that an agent has step-by-step reasoning.
Okay, break that down for us.
Well, a standard model just gives you one fixed response to one prompt. But these new agentic models act more like an autonomous project manager. They don't just generate pixels. They take a complex project, break it down into actionable steps, and then actually use different software tools to execute those steps from start to finish.
I mean, to me, it's like the difference between asking an AI to paint a picture of a house versus hiring a digital general contractor.
Oh, that's a good analogy.
Right, like the general contractor doesn't just draw the house, they build it, they wire the electricity, they paint the walls. You're just giving them a macro objective.
Exactly. You aren't prompting anymore, you're delegating.
The source has this great specific example that really grounds this. Imagine you're working on a summer promo for a new X model sports shoe. You don't just say, "Give me a picture of a shoe." Your macro objective is design a summer promo using neon colors and output the final files for both vertical Instagram stories and horizontal highway billboards.
And the second you hit enter, the agentic architecture just takes over. It gets that overarching goal and immediately dissects it into like dozens of logical microtasks.
Which is wild.
It really is. It goes into your cloud storage, finds the raw product photos, pulls them into Photoshop, and removes the backgrounds.
And it's not using like a messy, fuzzy eraser tool or
No, not
anything.
at all. It uses mathematically precise alpha masks. It actually calculates the exact contrast difference between the edge of the shoe and the studio backdrop so the cutout is flawless.
Wow. And then it takes those cutouts and puts them on the new neon background. But it doesn't just drop a fake-looking shadow underneath.
Right, it analyzes the implied light source of the new background and constructs a realistic directional drop shadow based on that light.
That is just crazy. And it does the text too.
Yeah, and this is where it's really smart. It knows that a highway billboard needs infinite scaling. So it won't use rasterized pixels for text because that would just get blurry. It automatically calls on Illustrator's vector engines.
Okay, wait.
It generates the typography using mathematical curves so it stays crisp, whether it's on a phone or a 60-foot sign.
Wait, I have to stop you there because this whole cross-app orchestration thing sounds amazing in theory,
Sure.
but anyone who has actually tried to dynamically link like a heavy After Effects file to a Premiere Pro timeline knows it's a nightmare. The RAM maxes out, the computer stutters, everything crashes.
Oh, absolutely. It's a notoriously heavy process.
So how is an autonomous AI bypassing all of those physical computer limits to run three giant apps at the same time? Wait, so it literally opens different apps and routes the files itself?
Well, yes and no. It routes the files, but it actually bypasses those limits by totally abandoning the visual interface, the GUI.
Really?
Yeah, Adobe accomplished this massive programming feat by hardwiring the AI inference engine directly into the core code of these legacy apps as a centralized brain.
Huh.
So the AI doesn't need to physically open a window to see what it's doing. It uses these internal API protocols, basically like building digital subway tunnels between the apps.
So it's just firing raw data back and forth underground, basically.
Exactly. Let's take the raw video example the source mentions. If you hand this agent an ungraded video file, it just looks at the data and knows it needs color correction.
Right.
So it shoots that raw data down the API tunnel directly to the Lumetri color engine, applies the grade mathematically, and sends it back.
That's incredible.
And if there's, like, background wind noise on the audio track, it automatically routes the file to Audition, scrubs the noise floor, sends it back to Premiere, and then calls up After Effects scripts to render out dynamic lower third motion graphics. No human opens a single program.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, though. Because routing files is one thing, but making sure the final video or image actually looks aesthetically pleasing takes real skill.
It does.
And the system uses what they call spatial intelligence. So it's not just running blind scripts. It actually comprehends layers and alpha channels and vector coordinates as literal mathematical functions representing space.
Yeah, it understands the physics of the canvas.
Right. It inherently knows the rules of composition. Like, if you have a person in the photo, it treats their face as a collision zone. It knows not to slap big, bold text right over the subject's face.
It just wraps the text around them naturally.
Exactly. It's applying the logic of a veteran art director across the whole workflow. But, you know, if Adobe can natively orchestrate all these apps as a centralized brain, that totally changes the AI platform wars.
Right, it completely upends the competitive landscape.
Because for the last few years, the kings of AI art were places like Midjourney or open source things like Stable Diffusion using Comfy UI.
Right, but the review points out that while those open source platforms are amazing at raw image generation, they are basically isolated islands.
Yeah.
You generate a beautiful image on that island, but then you have to manually export it, upscale it somewhere else, bring it into Photoshop, and manually mask it. Adobe, on the other hand, is a unified continent.
A unified continent. I like that. It's kind of like Midjourney is having the world's most powerful engine just sitting on your front lawn. It's right. Cool to look at. It runs great, but it's not taking you anywhere.
That's a great way to put it.
And Adobe's agentic AI is a slightly different engine, but it's actually installed inside a fully functioning car. You can drive it. The game has totally moved from just raw generation to actual workflow orchestration.
And we have to look at this from the enterprise perspective, too, because that's the real moat Adobe built.
Copyright issue.
Exactly. Fortune 500 companies just couldn't touch open source tools because of all the legal gray areas. Those models were trained on unregulated data sets.
Right, just scraping the internet. And just to be clear, we're just impartially presenting the facts of the market here, not taking sides on the training debates. But legally speaking, it was a minefield for big brands.
A total minefield. So Adobe trained its agents exclusively on Adobe stock and public domain content. And crucially, they offer intellectual property indemnification.
Basically, a legal shield.
Yeah, if a brand gets sued for copyright infringement over an AI-generated campaign, Adobe pays the legal costs. So this combination of workflow automation plus total legal immunity has basically allowed Adobe to secure the enterprise market in a checkmate.
Which is great for Adobe, but let's talk about the human holding the mouse.
The existential question.
Yeah, because if the AI is doing all the orchestration and Fortune 500 companies are buying in, what is left for the designer? The source actually calls this an industrial earthquake. It essentially says the traditional junior designer role, the pixel pusher, is dead.
It's a harsh reality.
It is. The people who spent hours masking out hair or resizing banners to 15 different formats, agentic AI does that with zero latency and absolute precision now.
But it's important to reframe this, right?
Yeah.
It's not necessarily extinction. It's a metamorphosis.
Okay. How so?
The human is elevated from being a software operator to a strategic director. Think of a designer in 2027 like a conductor on a podium.
I see.
The conductor isn't physically playing the cello or the violin. They are directing a symphony of autonomous agents. The focus shifts to prompt engineering, maintaining brand consistency, and making sure the final piece actually resonates emotionally.
Okay, let's look at the pros and cons of this shift impartially. Because on the pro side, you have the complete elimination of drudgery.
Which is huge. Nobody likes doing that grunt work.
Exactly. And it democratizes really complex 3D and motion techniques. Plus, if you run a one-person studio, you can basically scale your output by 10x without hiring anyone.
But the cons are definitely significant.
Right. There's the ruthless elimination of those entry-level jobs. How does a junior designer learn the ropes if the AI is doing all the basic work? And veterans face this massive learning curve to adapt.
Plus the risk of the sea of sameness.
Yes. If everyone is relying on the AI's default compositional logic, everything starts to look exactly the same. But for you, the listener, if you are a freelancer or a studio manager right now, billing by the hour is basically going extinct.
You literally can't survive on hourly rates anymore.
No, because a campaign that used to take 3 weeks now takes 4 hours. You have to pivot to value-based pricing. You have to anchor your worth on your ideas and your strategic output, not how fast you can use the pen tool.
And speaking of strategic output, there's a big ethical question here.
Oh, yeah.
With this symphony of digital agents making thousands of invisible micro decisions at lightning speed, how do we track authorship? Like, how do we even trust what we are seeing online anymore?
The legal ambiguity is wild. When the AI makes thousands of decisions autonomously, authorship gets really blurry. So how is Adobe trying to solve this?
They're using something called C2PA. And they've introduced these cryptographic nutrition labels.
Nutrition labels for digital art. I love that term from the piece.
It's very accurate because every single asset orchestrated by the AI gets this secure, tamper-evident metadata tag. It details the exact origin of the file and its entire editing history.
So it creates this radical transparency. You can click it and instantly see if an image is human-made, AI-assisted, or fully autonomous.
Exactly. And if someone tries to strip that metadata to pass it off as human-made, the cryptographic hash breaks, proving it was tampered with.
Which is so necessary because the source points out a really severe risk here. The sheer speed of these agents could totally be weaponized.
Oh, without a doubt.
You could have automated hyper-convincing misinformation at a massive scale, like generating localized political attack ads or fake financial news perfectly formatted in just seconds.
And that's why Adobe has to put in strict API-level guardrails.
How does that actually work in practice?
They use secondary AI models whose sole purpose is to audit and flag the creative agent's output before it can even be exported. It's an internal police force, essentially.
Wow. And just to clarify, a crucial FAQ for the listeners, none of this agentic stuff runs offline, right?
Oh, no. Cross-app orchestration requires immense computational power. You have to have a persistent connection to Adobe's private cloud.
So you can't just do this on a laptop in a cabin in the woods?
Definitely not. You're pinging massive server farms.
Yeah.
And because of that compute reality, running these complex pipelines will actually cost users generative credits, which is an extra cost beyond the basic subscription.
Right, of course. So what does this all mean?
That's the big question.
If we distill everything we've talked about today, Adobe has successfully bridged the gap between a fun, generative novelty and true industrial scale production. The creative profession isn't dying, but it is evolving into AI management. And adaptability is literally the ultimate creative skill now.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, in a world where information and design are automated at scale, critical thinking and strategic vision are more valuable now than ever before.
Absolutely. But, you know, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over today that kind of builds on all this.
Okay, let's hear it.
If agentic AI flawlessly executes our exact macro objectives, right, and it eliminates all of the technical friction of the software, what happens to the happy accidents?
Oh, wow.
Think about it. So much of creative history was born directly from human error. A slipped mouse click, a misunderstood tool, or just aimless tinkering that led to a brilliant breakthrough. As we trade the messy human process for mathematical perfection, are we risking the loss of serendipity in art?
That is a fascinating question to consider.
Something to think about the next time you boot up your software and stare at a blank canvas. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the evolution of creative orchestration. We'll catch you on the next one.